Meeting of the Broadcasting Board of Governors open. This is an open meeting held in compliance with the Government in the Sunshine Act, and the meeting is being held in the headquarters in Washington, D.C., streamed live over the internet and also at www.bbg.gov. We've tried to open these meetings and stream them and put them on the internet as a way to just go above and beyond and to really push the president's own sentiment that these meetings should be as open as possible. In fact, one of the things that happened this morning is that we originally voted to close the very specific part of our meeting in which we discussed and voted on the 2013 budget proposal. That was voted on and discussed as being closed because of federal regulations dealing with the budget process and who gets to be informed about the budget when, and the fact that the president hasn't yet released the budget, et cetera. That said, despite that, we balance the need for openness with the need to comply with the integrity of the OMB process. And we voted to hold the meeting in an open fashion and discuss our budget proposal and the strategy behind it in an open fashion. A transcript of that morning's meeting is being prepared. It will be made available. It will be made available on the internet, and eventually the entire budget submission of the president will be available on the internet. I also want to commend the people who have done the strategic narrative behind it. This is not a budget that was just randomly decided, but if you read it and when you read about the discussions, please look at the year-long or year-and-a-half-long process of a strategy that we've tried to develop and still have another year to go on it of what we're doing here at the BBG. That strategic narrative informs the budget that we submitted and that is still being worked on through the OMB process. I look around and notice that we do indeed have a quorum of the board, so the board may continue to discuss business based on a majority vote. The station managers of the IBB transmitting stations from all around the world are here celebrating, having a party this afternoon, right? And yesterday afternoon, actually, and working with the IBB. Thank you all for being here, being in the front lines of all of the programming we do at the BBG. You're here for your annual meeting, but really I want to thank you for what you do all year round, which is a service to the United States and to the world by making everything we do in this building and all of our other buildings available and transmitted and broadcast around the world. We also take the opportunity of open meetings sometimes to spotlight efforts to thwart media freedom and intimidate journalists. We have a statement, which I'm going to read a part of and will be part of the record and will be on our website, which is we're taking this opportunity, this meeting, to profess profound concern about Iran, where internet access to report by Voice of America's Persian News Network and Radio Free Europe's Radio Farda is blocked. Websites are being aggressively hacked there, shortwave broadcasts are jammed, and persons associated in any way with any of our programs have been arrested or worse. We learned recently that the Iranian government is jamming satellite transmissions of the BBC's Persian service, TV. Taken together, these practices amount to the construction of an electronic curtain, isolating the Iranian people from the rest of the world. I'll mention, Anne, that Secretary Clinton has been very eloquent on this very recently. We also protest the August 31st abduction and expulsion to the Iranian border of a correspondent with Radio Free Europe's Azerbaijani service who was reporting a story. We have raised this case with the State Department and requested an explanation from the Azerbaijani government. We reject a legal warning issued in connection with Voice of America coverage of the UN-backed tribunal in Cambodia, which has been investigating atrocities committed by the former Khmer Rouge regime. The board insists on journalistic and legal responsibility of all our broadcast services to provide balanced coverage of important issues and objects to the chilling effect and it may have on independent media inside the country. We also object to a recent pattern of intimidation to puts RFA and VOA from reporters in Nepal have been physically threatened because of their reporting on Tibet. Anything further people want to add to that or whatever? Thank you, David, for your work. Libby, all your journalists, Brian, our entity TEDs are here. Steve, for good luck with the Azerbaijan issues. The board held its last meeting July. The meetings are in the book. Anybody have any comments or corrections on the minutes? Do I hear a motion for adoption of the minutes?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say nay. Done. On the strategy and budget, we discussed the budget, as I said, in the open in the meeting that was open this morning. We are still going on strategy. I assume at our next meeting there'll be much more of a report now that we've done the exhausting work of the budget part to deal more with the strategy report. Governance Committee report. We met yesterday. A whole lot of work, number of important issues, including relationships. And might want to just let you take it over, Dennis, and explain exactly what was done. Governor Mulhall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. An important focus of the board of the past year has been the effort to bring a greater sense of cohesion and organizational purpose to the elements of United States International Broadcasting. The board has endeavored to govern United States International Broadcasting collectively and as a whole in order to leverage the talents within the board, the agency, and the whole USIB community. At yesterday's meeting, we considered two important steps along the way to realizing this vision. First, the implementation of the board's decision to merge the BBG board staff with the staff of the International Broadcasting Bureau under the leadership of the IBB director. And two, revision of the agreements between the agency and its grantee organizations, namely Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Middle East Broadcast Networks, and Radio Free Asia. I have several action items arising from the committee's meeting. The committee recommends, and I move, that the plenary board adopt the Governance Committee report from the July 13, 2011 Governance Committee meeting. A copy of that report has been provided to the board.
And what does that include in it, in terms of some substantive issues? I mean, what will we be voting yes on?
Well, it's what we'll have that.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't the grant.
This is just the... This is the governance committee from July.
Oh, so
this
in other
is the
words,
July meeting.
All right, I second it.
Okay.
Why do we have to vote on this?
I mean, well, traditionally we have just to memorialize the agreements or the action items.
I would just suggest in the future, if it's nothing more than an effect approval of the committee meetings, it doesn't need to come to the full board.
All right. Why don't we look at that? That's a valid point, but and
okay,
figure out what
needs
to come to the board. But at the moment, why don't you
moving on to today's action items?
Well, you can call for a vote since we've moved and seconded. But from now on, yeah,
you can call for the vote.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say nay.
Abstaining.
Vote carries.
It's in here,
we were limited earlier. Go on.
Okay, for today's action items, implementation of the IBB-BBG staff merger. At our April board meeting, the board directed that the staffs of the International Broadcasting Bureau and the Broadcasting Board of Governors be merged under the leadership of the IBB director. We did so in order to clarify lines of authority within the agency and improve the day-to-day management of U.S. International Broadcasting. A program plan notifying relevant congressional committees of the staff merger was delivered in May and received concurrence from the Congress in June 2011. As part of our decision, we instructed the IBB director to develop an organization and staffing plan for the merged IBB-BBG staff. At our June 2011 meeting, the board approved the IBB director's recommended framework for the reorganization of the merged group. The IBB director's proposal included the creation of several new offices with the purpose of streamlining and improving agency functions. An organization chart showing the new offices and functions was provided to the board in June and is also available to you today. A second reprogramming letter to the Congress outlining the new IBB offices was sent in late August. I'm informed that the agency received congressional concurrence on the reorganization yesterday. Mr. Chairman, I move the plenary board direct the IBB director to create the offices contemplated in the August reprogramming letter and as previously approved by the board in order to implement the IBB-BBG merger and in compliance with any applicable procedures prescribed by law and regulation.
All right. I second it and open to discussion, but I'll say the first level of discussion is to really commend Dick Lobo and Jeff Trimble for, you know, this is the type of thing that in other organizations could have caused a whole lot of hand-wringing. But somehow we had two separate staffs. We're trying to streamline here, trying to save money. Two separate staffs of the IBB and the BBG. And how we could ask the taxpayers or anybody to support that when we're cutting back everything else was not sensible. And the fact that we decided to do this, and that the two of you affected it and have been working hand in glove, I want to congratulate you. Discussions on this issue?
There was hand-wringing, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, there was hand-wringing. Okay, please strike that there was no hand-wringing. Bell-ringing. There was no bell-ringing. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say nay. Motion carried. Mr. Governor Mahal.
Revision of the grant agreements. U.S. international broadcasting is accomplished through a combination of the talents and resources provided by broadcasters, both within the federal agency and through our three nonprofit private grantees. The diversity of public and private resources is a source of strength, and the board has given much attention over the past year to aligning these resources to make U.S. international broadcasting more coordinated and effective. For this reason, the board decided in December 2010 that the terms and conditions of the grant agreements between the BBG and BBG grantee organizations should be revised to correspond to the operational realities between the BBG and each respective grantee and to reflect the board's strategy. Over the past several months, the IBB staff worked with the legal and financial staffs of the grantees to prepare a fully developed draft for the committee's review and consideration. The draft grant agreement has been provided to the board. The committee spent a majority of our meeting yesterday reviewing the draft grant agreement. Discussions over the past few months have been frank, and compromises have had to be made in order to create the best possible document. Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the governance committee, which vote recommendation on the revised grant agreement, voted by the committee yesterday by majority, that the board approve the
and amended as we have in
and amended as it's been provided to board members. The board approve the revised grant agreement in all material respects and direct the IBB director to work with the grantees to finalize the agreements and issue them to the grantees for signature by no later than October 1st, 2011.
I second the motion, and I also want to start by saying thank you to everybody involved. I will refrain this time around from saying there was no hand-wringing. This, even yesterday, had some hand-wringing, but each of the entity heads worked very, very closely. This shouldn't really change things in some ways because everything reports to this BBG board, and if we have to change decisions, we can change decisions. But it is, once again, part of a streamlining where we, instead of having different rules and different organizations and different ways of doing things, we're trying to rationalize this process. I think that, I really do thank the entity heads. I'll thank, you know, Libby, Steve, Brian, everybody, because there was some, you know, compromises that had to be made. But as of this morning, there was a nice endorsement by everything, and we hope we've gotten at least 98 to 99% right. Questions or discussions by the governors or anybody else?
Mr.
Governor Ash.
A question. On page 6, I thought it was my understanding, but I don't see it in here, on paragraph 4 dealing with the entity's relations with the congressional or executive branch of communications and outreach, that there would be an exemption placed in here for offices, be it VOA, RFE, RFA, MBN, of contacting the host, the
right.
American embassy.
That, right.
And I don't see that in here on paragraph 4.
You put it. Okay, would you show us where it is? Because I did see it.
If I missed it, I missed it. But
no, and it was a good point for you to make it.
Okay, thanks very much. It's a kind of a dense paragraph, but it's in the middle. I think it's in the second Roman. I'm sorry, Roman 2, where the executive branch we've added, including United States embassies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, page 6, number 4, in the middle of the paragraph.
Well.
I don't mean, I guess I'm putting on my lawyer's hat. It says routine correspondence. I'm not talking about the head of the VOA in Phnom Penh sending a letter to the embassy. I'm talking about them contacting the embassy a lot of times on security issues. It seems to me it would be improved if you said routine correspondence or communication. Correspondence typically refers to something in writing. And most of the communications on an urgent basis would not be in writing, but would be by phone. And there, you could, right. I mean, we had a drive-by shooting in Phnom Penh at the RFA office, and the VOA office a mile away knew nothing about it.
So you're making a proposal that we add the words and communications afterwards?
Well, yeah, routine correspondence slash communication.
Yeah, and or communications. Or slash. Communications. Let's, okay, so there's a motion on the floor by Governor Ash to amend it to say the words or communications. I second that. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so as amended, we're discussing this.
Move for approval, unless there are further questions.
All right. A second. Further questions? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay.
No.
All right. It carries. Next, Governor Mohawk.
Okay. One more. This is governance stuff is very fun, isn't it? One more item for the governance from the governance committee. And this relates to what you spoke of, Mr. Chairman, at the beginning of the meeting, the protocol for disclosing information from closed board meetings. The committee discussed releasing material from closed board meetings and took into account that the government in the Sunshine Act permits the agency to close board sessions based on defined statutory exemptions. I move that the plenary board direct the IBB director to develop a protocol for producing minutes for all future closed meetings of the board and releasing to the public such portions of the minutes as may be lawful and appropriate.
You have the right to second that one, Victor, since it was your idea.
Second. And let me say, I think the board deserves a commendation from the very day that members were confirmed and met for taking steps to open all board meetings. We've actually, to my knowledge, on our watch, only had one closed meeting, which was to elect David Ensor as the head of VOA. And I think in hindsight, we probably could have had it open because all we did was say wonderful things about him.
I was unwilling to say wonderful things about David in open sessions.
But no, I think we're following the president's directive that came through OMB in December.
And whenever we do close, I think we should be very clear for the reason, either by law we have to, or sometimes to protect a person when we're discussing a personnel issue. We may see, but then we'll try to put out the minute so people know what we did. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say nay. Great. I think you're finished.
That concludes my report, yes.
You've done a very good job, and there was no hand-wringing as far as I know. The board's keen interest in social media and other forms of digital innovation, we've discussed it quite a bit, and we're going to discuss it a bit in the future. Actually, let me pause for a second. I'm sorry. Well, let me get through this. Because I do think we are going to progress along this path as part of our strategic plan. I'm wondering if any particular board member wants to talk about any...
Dana
does have... It says prenup, but it does have in parentheses... To be confirmed. So I panicked when I saw the to be confirmed.
It is confirmed.
Because I didn't know whether you were waiting Senate confirmation or just confirmation that you wanted to talk.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this briefly. One of our colleagues and governors, Susan McHugh, could not be here today, and she deserves a ton of credit for really getting the board jumpstart on the need for the BBG as a whole to really be thinking. Along the lines of the future of communication. While we still have shortwave radio that we need to use, we also have all of these great new tools in social media. And so she helped bring together Raina and Rob, who are here with us today. And they have launched an innovation series. And something I wanted to make sure everybody knew about today is that there is a commission on innovation that they have created. And I'm going to ask people to bear with me while I read this list of names, because it is extremely impressive, the types of people that this board has brought to the table, mainly through Susan's leadership and also because Raina and Rob have looked at it. They're going to have an introductory launch of the Commission on Innovation next Thursday, September 22nd. I will be there. It's in New York City. And then the formal launch event will be October 25th here in Washington, D.C. And the goal of it is to focus on the role of the commission and introduce them to the overall innovation agenda that we as a board are trying to oversee and that the staff of everybody at BBG is trying to embrace as they deal with multiple challenges all around. And we've talked also about internet circumvention, which Governor Meehan has helped focus us on as well. So all of these things are coming together. And let me just read to you the types of people from the outside of this board and outside of the government who are going to be a part of it. I think you'll be very impressed. And if I pronounce anybody's name wrong, I apologize in advance. Paola Antonelli is at the Museum of Modern Art. Akhtar Badash of Microsoft. Rob Bluey of the Heritage Foundation, Jan Chipchase of Frog Design, Jared Cohen of Google, June Cohen of TED, Jeff Davidoff of the One Campaign, Chris Hughes of Jumo, Alberto Ibarguen, I hope I'm saying that right, of the Knight Foundation, Vivek Kundra at Harvard University, Rebecca McKinnon, New America Foundation, Mark McKinnon, good friend of mine, Public Strategies, James Montgomery, and a good friend of this board, I should say, he served on here as well, James Montgomery of BBC Global News, Andrew McLaughlin of Civic Commons, Andrew Rossage of Personal Democracy Forum and Sunlight Foundation, Alec Ross of the State Department, Ben Scott of the State Department, Clay Shirky of New York University, Harry Srivasan, I'm saying that right, PBS NewsHour, Mark Sermon of Mozilla Foundation, Evan Williams of Twitter, Randy Zuckerberg, you might recognize that name, Andy Berndt of Google, Primal Shah of Kiva.
Randy Hoshia, so it's not confused with Mark.
Well, that's, well, I know okay. that.
I know you
Yes,
do.
Randy Zuckerberg is not Mark Zuckerberg, okay. but there is a connection. That was kind of my underhanded point. And then Robert Sabian of Fast Company is still deciding, and Andy Berndt of Google is still deciding, and hopefully with this public appeal, we will get them to agree to come on board. So Raina and Rob are heading this up. I'm very happy to be a part of it. I hope the whole board will find a way to participate. And as we move forward with the budget process, I do think that it is incumbent upon the board to make sure that we figure out a way to work smart and to have the resources available to make sure that this can be a really wild success. But just by looking at all the different types of people that are coming together for this commission, it shows how committed everybody is as Americans to making this work, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Thank you very much, and I think Rob and Raina are about to show
an update
all of
yeah.
us
Absolutely.
What we've been reading here.
Thank
you very much, Dana, and thanks for spearheading this with Susan.
Well, we actually have a presentation that we are hoping will get pulled up.
Use the microphone,
yeah.
please, Raina.
All right, go ahead
there
with your
is.
Presentation.
next slide, please. So we wanted to give you a brief preview of the innovation agenda that we've been putting together after about 2 months here on the job. And we've been doing a lot of research and taking survey of and taking stock of everything that we've got. Next slide, please.
So if you recall, one of the things that we said at the last board meeting was some of the themes that we're working on. The new news supply chain is that we're moving from a linear news supply chain to having more people involved in it. Global conversations, the importance of social media, and that we need to engage our audience, and they expect to be engaged. New voices, we have a new generation of news users coming, and we need to bring those new next generation of talent into our organization. And moving communities forward. Media and technology helps people improve their lives. News and information helps improve their understanding of the world. We're looking for how do we use that media and technology to improve communities.
So just to begin, we'd like to define innovation because it means a lot of different things to a lot of people. For some, it means social media. For some, it means media experimentation. To us, next slide. It means looking across the network to put talent and tools together to provide more benefit and value for our audience.
So this is a precursor. We may have to have some understanding of we can change the name, but we're looking to look at moving the Office of New Media into something a little broader, something I'm thinking about Office of Digital and Design Strategy. So this is a preview of that.
Design?
Well, we put design in the name to elevate design across the entity, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But first, we wanted to start with some internal innovations. And how do we harness the culture and capitalize on the talent that we have? Next slide. One of the methods that we are employing is called an innovation sprint. And these are 2 to 6 week projects that we detail in folks from other offices, other bureaus, other networks to come and run a product with us. And when they go back to their home office, they go back with a finished product and a lot of knowledge.
Basically, there are There are problems out there that is not one in particular's interest to solve. We need to have the most creative people we can find. We're an organization with an incredible amount of talent, and so we're trying to pull these people together, focus them on a problem that solves for many different people, many different organizations. Next slide.
Another method that we're using for internal innovations is our innovation series, and this is the blog with which we're using to communicate that across the entities. The innovation series brings in experts from the fields around media, so mobile technology, data visualization, and other things that will help us improve the way that we do our work.
Next slide. So one of the key things, as I said, is that we have a lot of talent in this organization. We need to foster that talent and bring the right skills to bear. One of the things that we're going to be talking with all the entity heads is how do we get digital media talent down into the newsroom? How do we get it right next to the content? And how do we also bring in more people from the outside? The Commission on Innovation is one way, but we need to keep on attracting outside talent that understands digital media, mobile, broadcast, understands how to pull these things together.
So to begin with, we've been laying some foundations, and part of that is design reform, which is the design reform process that we're putting in place. Basically, all of our entities, we need to get our work up to par with other media organizations to compete with the news products that our audience has a choice of. Next. Too much information is what everyone all over the world is suffering from right now, so we're also moving towards more visual content to reduce the complexity of information and make it more understandable. And right now, we're working with RFA on an investment map of Chinese investments that will be the core of a lot of articles shortly.
Next slide. So as you probably all aware, the way I envisioned USIB when I first came in, it's a fleet. There's a lot of boats in the water, a lot of boats going in many different directions, all headed smartly and soundly moving forward, but we need to actually bring people together. And so we're looking at a conversation around a digital strategy that is working with all the entities. We have staff from every entity working about what do we look like in the next 18 months. But we also know working at the top is helpful, but we also need to dive down deep. We need to get next to the content. And so we've worked in 3 different places to right now where we're looking to dive right deeply into the Bureau.
The HAUSA service is currently testing and doing an assessment for extending mobile health care through the Africa Health Network in Zaria City. We spent a little bit of time in Baku and launched a crowdsourcing content effort there while we were in the house, and studying the parasite effect and looking at satire across all of the entities and looking at how this can be a strength for us moving forward.
We're also looking at ways in which we can create new beats for the next generation, new information, the way that people want that information, new forms, bringing together broadcast and digital. So we're looking at ways in which we can work with content as well. Next slide, please. We're also saying that we are a part of a global media industry. We're starting to talk with new partners outside of U.S. International Broadcasting, bringing those partners in. We'll talk a little bit. We'll show with the list, but working with people like Google, working with people like the BBC, and building collaboration across it. We should be proud of what we do, and we should show it to the rest of the world. Next slide.
And as part of our external innovations, the multi-partner projects, the public-private partnership opportunities that we have, for example, with the Translation Hub, with the BBC and Deutsche Welle as core partners on that, and Press Corps, Sister Cities 2.0 is another opportunity to work with domestic journalists and our citizen journalists abroad. The Commission on Innovation, which Governor Perino gave a wonderful update on, is another piece of this strategy for external innovation. Next. And 59 is the number of days that we have been at work here. And we wanted to show you a little bit about what we've been doing since then. Next slide. So these are some projects that we've launched in varying stages, in production, planning, progress, and now initiated, that are beneficial to the house. They're experiments that start one place, and then they're going to affect the whole system.
These are places where we're diving deep into individual services. As you can see, it's a little small, but we have PNN, we have OCB, we have RFA, we have VOA, we have RFERL. We have pretty much starting to work with every service out there.
And these are the partnerships that we have initiated conversations on for content, for distribution, and for new kinds of partnerships in the world of digital media innovation.
So thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Congratulations. I think it's really, really impressive what you've done in a short period of time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Further questions, whatever? There's, by the way, a nice piece in today's Washington Post, too, about some Voice of America new programming called Oh My God, Will You, May You. So congratulations.
More on that in a minute, sir.
More on that in a minute. Great. Governor Meehan, I think you wanted to make a few words.
Sure. Thanks. So 14 months ago, I was glad to be, join as a co-chair of the Budget and Strategy Committee. And spent the last year working with everybody in the building on ways to improve some of the efficiencies. And I think some of that's borne out in the budget here, and the strategy process is well on its way. Today, I'd like to step off the committee and spend more of my time focusing on some of the global internet freedom efforts that I've been working on behalf of the board, and sort of focus in on that, building upon some of the great work you just saw here from our talented team, and really focusing the resources. The Congress, in its infinite wisdom, decided to send us $10 million.
I don't know if it was in their infinite wisdom. I think it included prodding by you and a few other people.
And we've been smart enough to go back and ask for more money, so I'd like to do our best. I think Governor Perino has offered to serve as a co-chair in this effort, too, so I think I look forward to doing some of that. But one thing I did want to take the time to address is during the course of the strategy sessions, we sat down with particularly in the Africa section, we were looking for cost-effective ways to improve audience and to improve the reach of the Voice of America in Africa. And one of the suggestions that came from the meeting was, if governors could go to Africa and negotiate additional licenses, we could expand our audiences there at a relatively cheap way. And so Governor McHugh and Governor Perino and I looked down the road 6 months and found a week in June that we could go, and we went in June. This is my first board meeting that I've been able to attend since that time. And we had a very successful trip, I think it was reported on in the last meeting. We went to Nigeria, to Ethiopia, and to the soon-to-be country of South Sudan. And we had very successful meetings in two places in Nigeria, where we met with and extended the leases on at least four affiliates in Nigeria. And in South Sudan, we had a very open arms relationship. They were very excited to grant us FM licenses. Our embassy, our friends at the State Department, were willing to put a tower on top of the embassy there. And when you go to a country the size of Texas that has 30 miles of roads, you really appreciate the fact that a tower on top of a U.S. embassy is a really significant accomplishment. I believe that we have some tech teams down that have gone to South Sudan to help them, because they have other radio issues given sort of their lack of ability to move around the country. So it's a great partnership that we have building with the people of South Sudan and the government. We went to Ethiopia and sat with the Minister of Information there, and we went to ask for additional licensings and abilities to expand our reach into Ethiopia, where we have some efforts there. And for the last 3 months, there was some activity around that meeting that disturbed us. And the Voice of America management has looked into this and has taken appropriate action. I refrained from saying anything until the action was taken. And now that the action is taken, I just think that for people like Governor McHugh and Perino and I, who in our day jobs work in the media for a living and have the enormous respect for the freedom of journalism and put our time into this board because we believe that, I think it's incredulous for us to be considered censors of the work that people do here at Voice of America. Nobody's making me be on this board. I don't come on this board to sit here and be a censor of anybody who works in U.S. international broadcasting. And I just think it has been an unfair charge leveled on myself and my colleagues for our activities that we're taking there. So I just wanted to go on the record to anyone in the sound of my voice to understand that we're here to protect the journalistic mission of this place. And if not, I could just resign and go home and move on to other things. It's not essential for me to be here. But I just wanted to go on the record to say that now that the management has taken the actions that they have taken, to be clear that we stand four square on the side of journalists, and we will stand up to people who will impede the freedom of journalists to do their work around the world.
Let me add my voice to that, which is nobody on this board but Michael Meehan in particular should ever consider is not totally behind the effort for the free flow of information. It's totally against all censorship and totally against all authoritarian regimes that try to censor and has fought incredibly hard for that. Thank you. Also note that Michael Meehan took the red eye and it just landed and has been able to go through a grueling morning too. So it's not only your service for doing stuff like that, but the day-to-day service, including on budget and strategy, and on the future Internet Circumvention Committee. We're not really being paid to do all this and to take the red eye to make it here and to do all the things you've been doing for the cause of freedom and against the cause of censorship. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I just thank the governor and the governors who went to Africa for their dedication and the hard work that they put into that. Voice of America is proud of what it does in Africa, but we'd like to be even more effective, and your interest is just priceless. Thank you for the effort.
And while you have the floor, I'll go right to the IBB director's report, but we're going to hear more from David Ensor, as they used to say in our business, after this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A lot of exciting things going on at IBB, particularly in China and Libya and in Germany. And to make that report, I'd like to invite my colleague, the director of our TSI agency, to come aboard and give us his report. Andre Mendez.
Thank you very much.
Can I keep talking?
Yeah, we'll keep talking. Yeah. I'll talk a little louder. How's that?
The microphone's actually working.
Oh, okay. Right. Here we go. Very good. Chairman, governors, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the process of setting up an FM in Benghazi with the help of some contractors. After a three-week delay in customs, equipment was released from Alexandria, Egypt, earlier this week. It has arrived in Benghazi as we talk, and assembly and commissioning will take place over the next 2 weeks. We expect to be on air shortly in that troubled town shortly after that. Upon success with this project, when conditions on the ground allow, we will tackle Tripoli install next. And we're very much looking forward to that because it is a region that is in dire need of that type of information. Regarding the Erking property sale in Germany, TSI has concluded the sale of this property about a month ago to a private party for the sum of 4.3 million euros, which I'm glad to report translates into $6.3 million, or more than twice as much as we were expecting to get from this sale. The German law provides the municipality on which the location is located, the town of Albertsmus, near Munich, with the right of first refusal. So they're going through that process. The town is currently evaluating the proposed sale and is expected to consider it at the October 27 council meeting. While we expect the town to not exercise its function, we will not have certainty or access to any funds until that issue is completed. And finally, in a very exciting development, starting on September 20th, TSI will be providing both VOA and RFA Mandarin services with a new distribution method targeting China via direct-to-home satellite services. As you might know, satellite dish ownership is growing very fast and now stands at an estimated 11%. Hosted on the number one ranked satellite in the Chinese market, Telstar 18, each network will have access to a stereo radio signal plus an accompanying picture slate. That can be used for providing either visual information that is related to the content in the audio signal, general news and information, and most importantly, actually real-time updates for the names of the proxy servers that enable circumvention of internet blocking. a very important component to this.
Hey, that's good. Congratulations.
Indeed, indeed. We're very pleased with this, and I'm sure the services will be as well. And I also would like to thank Michael Meehan, because these services are made possible by the recently allocated Internet Circumvention Funds, so they are being put to good use. And that concludes my report.
Congress in its wisdom, is that the phrase we use?
Infinite.
Okay.
Infinite
wisdom.
It's about the budget. That's another topic.
Another topic?
All right.
I know. We're still on the IBB director report.
Some good news, and I wanted to thank Governor Ash publicly for suggesting that we look into this, but we have offices and bureaus around the world belonging to various networks, and Governor Ash recommended that we look seriously at trying to combine some of those, and we've had one of our staff members at the IBB working very hard on this for just 3 or 4 months, actually, and I got a report last night that we're making a good deal of progress on consolidation on news bureaus here and abroad. For example, MBN and VOA, their staffs in New York and London, as well as radio personnel in Cairo, are going to be using the same shared facilities by the end of this calendar year. And all MBN and VOA staff in Cairo and Jerusalem will be co-located in the spring of 2012. VOA and RFERL are working toward relocation or co-location in Moscow in 2012. And VOA and RFA are working toward co-locating at places such as Bangkok, and that's going to be something that we're continuing to work on. So congratulations to all of you for your cooperation. We want to publicly recognize employees who have made some of the most outstanding contributions to the BBG mission over the past year. And the 2011 Gold Medal Award Ceremony is going to be held here at the Cohen Building on September 27th. We received 297 nominations for the 95 awards available, and the senior staff here will be making these awards, and we invite some of our governors to join us. This is a very great ceremony, and it does a lot of good for the morale of the employees.
Thank you.
That's it?
Well,
Mr. Great.
Chairman.
Yes, sir.
A question or two, but first of all, I appreciate the recognition, but I think the recognition goes to the entire board, which unanimously adopted the resolution asking staff to look into consolidation of offices in various cities, whether it be Seoul, Phnom Penh, Bangkok, London, or wherever. The whole board can take credit. I had one or two questions based upon your written report, Mr. Lobo, which concerned me not about you, but about the situation. In regard to FM and TV transmission procedures, apparently we sent shipment for Benghazi in Libya, but it had to go by way of Alexandria in Egypt. And it says here it was stalled by Egyptian officials for several months. How could this happen?
No, wait, Andre actually reported on that just a moment ago, but he'll repeat the report for you. It was weeks, not months, if I think. But go ahead, Andre.
Can you tell us what the situation was?
Yeah, Andre actually just said
sure.
It in his earlier.
Yes, it was actually. It was actually 3 weeks, and apparently, this shipment underwent severe, substantial scrutiny and went all the way up to the head of the armed forces in the Egyptian government.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. I will approach and talk a little louder, Governor. It was actually about 3 weeks that it got stuck in customs. It suffered a substantial amount of scrutiny on the part of the entire Egyptian government, or the new Egyptian government, and went all the way up to the desk of the head of the military service, and it stayed there for 3 or 4 days until it was finally signed and finally released. We made all efforts to make sure that it could be expedited, but some of those circumstances, as you can imagine, in a country that is going through some of the turmoil that it's going through, were not exactly easily controllable.
All right. Secondly, and I just say this for the record, and we've discussed this in other meetings, but as part of Mr. Lobo's report, he refers to the consultant that's going to be hired to review the strategic plan, particularly the issue of consolidation of various entities. And I think it's, and you correct me if I misstated, but the first thing they will look at, whichever firm should be employed, is whether or not it makes sense and is desirable for a variety of reasons for the entities to be consolidated and move forward. It would be only after that question is resolved, then you would look at, assuming it is desirable in terms of recommendation as to the process and the manner by which consolidation would occur. But the issue of, is it the right thing to do would be their number one objective for whatever firm is employed by the board. Is that a correct assumption on my part?
The consultant will probably be chosen sometime next week. Governor, we've had a very good, robust process involving the entity heads and some senior staff and several board members who have assisted us. And when the consultant is selected, we want to make sure that they will have meetings with key board members that want to discuss their concerns. And then the entity heads and a team of people will get back together with them to flesh out what it is we want to do. And that's certainly going to be one of the priority discussions.
Further questions or comments? Any more? Mr.
That's
Lobo?
It.
That's it?
Thank you.
You know, Brian Conniff, MBN, boy, I tell you. Even the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan is, y'all must be covering a lot these days. But maybe if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about what's happening in Libya, more about Libya, but then Syria and the Middle East, what you're doing.
Okay.
And your ratings, by the way, in Egypt.
Last night we got preliminary audience survey results from Egypt, which shows over the last year Al-Hurra's audience has doubled. To nearly 8 million, which during the period of rising anti-Americanism is we believe, remarkable, and we think shows that we've overcome the credibility issue that we've been attacked for repeatedly. As we get more details of the more analysis of the results, we'll pass them along, but there's some interesting observations concerning use of social media, digital media, et cetera. So we'll be passing that along shortly. The other country that's been holding our attention is Libya, as you mentioned. And I'd like to run a quick two-minute video that we prepared, not only for the board, but we're going to run in Arabic as a proof of performance promotion on this channel. It's already posted up on YouTube. But I think in 2 minutes it gives you a pretty good idea of the depth and breadth of Al Hurra's coverage over the last 6 months of Libya. So if you could run that, please.
As the Arab Spring revolutionary uprisings continue throughout the Middle East, Al Hurra TV is on the scene, on the streets, and on the story. Most recently, in Libya, as we've done all year throughout the region, Al Hurra is keeping pace with the fast-moving developments, covering the rebels' advance, monitoring the upheaval, and reporting the most relevant information to millions of viewers seeking objectivity and fairness. Beginning with the rise of the Libyan opposition movement in February, continuing with the battles for Benghazi, Brega, Misrata, and Tripoli, Al Hurra has provided its viewers with unique access to key influentials in power and to the voices of liberators throughout the region. Our correspondents and anchors provided in-depth analysis and insightful perspectives, showcasing Al Hurra's unprecedented access to key officials from the UN, the White House, Capitol Hill, the State Department, and the Pentagon.
The Gaddafi regime is coming to an end.
On TV, online, and on radio, Al Hurra and Radio Sawa used social media platforms to provide a voice to the people, to draw upon their direct experiences, to share their stories, and to show and tell our audience the many sides of the issues that would otherwise go unreported. Using Skype, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, Al Hurra has extended its reach and engaged its audience. Al Hurra TV, on the scene, on the streets, and on the story.
Very nice. Hard work.
If I could just add, our Radio Sawa correspondent a few days ago made a Facebook posting, and I'll just read her exact words. The situation near Benwala is still tense. Snipers shoot groups of tourists around 3 p.m. today in local time, and the shots were 2 to 3 yards to my right. Freedom fighters evacuate all journalists, including me. I was pushed into a truck and taken away. It was scary and heartbreaking at the same time. So, you know, a lot of people have criticized SAW over the years as not being a serious news organization. Well, I think this kind of eyewitness on the ground reporting refutes that. Also, I would note that we're going to be, as VOA pulls out some of its correspondence, we're going to be providing video as well as English. We have one English-speaking reporter who will be providing reports to VOA. So we're going to continue that transition and try to maximize, leverage our resources on the ground as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. I think working with VOA the way you and David Ensor have done is to be commended publicly as we did privately this morning. Thank you, and good work on that.
Thank you.
Carlos Garcia of Office of Cuba Broadcasting. You don't have an official report. Where's Carlos? Oh, there you go. But you did tell us this morning a little bit about your pretty rare interview with Pablo Milanes, the singer. And maybe you can tell us about that or anything else you want to tell us about happening in Cuba.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say the first thing that this is my 10th month at the job. So this will be my 10th monthly report. A lot of things going on in Cuba. I'd like to discuss very briefly the things that we've done in radio, where we are in radio, what the future holds. We have become a multimedia operation. I want to discuss some of those platforms very briefly. Specifically, let's start with radio. Radio, we are in the process of changing the format of our radio news, and we're going to concentrate more on our evening news than we are on our noon news. We continue to work on the shows to make them more relevant and engaging, and we continue to receive positive feedback from our audience through phone calls, email, Twitter, and the old U.S. mail. So I don't know if it's U.S. mail, but we get them through mail. So the results of our change in program has been as follows. We just got done with a program review from the BBG, which we think is going to be very positive. The program review team, KLU's team, is very happy with the way things are going in our radio programs and news reporting. So that's very, very encouraging. We are starting to receive, we have hired new talent. Some of it is recent arrivals from Cuba, and we are starting to receive reaction from inside the island regarding this talent. There are 25-year-olds, 26-year-olds, and their friends are calling them, tell, hey, I'm watching you on Radio Martí. What happened to you? So, you know, that's cool. I think that's very encouraging. It's very good for our audience. The new media integration, we continue to do that. Our shows, most of our shows now have a Twitter account. It might seem like a very small number, but our women's show in the morning has 120 followers on Twitter, but 10 are from inside the island. Mm-hmm. And in that world, the way the censorship works in Cuba, the way the regime operates and behaves, it's huge. So we're very, very pleased with that. We continue to get news reports via Twitter and email, including some pictures. So that front continues to open up for us. Very positively. proxy sites, our website, we've discussed that before. Our website's hits and page views are up over 100% from February of this year. We also have a proxy site program that continues to trend up on the visits from inside the island. On the TV side, we are, and Mary Jean, don't worry, I'm not spending more money than I have. With the savings that we have implemented, we're going to have a new set and a video wall, which is going to allow us to change the look of our programs and the production qualities of our shows. We are going to launch a show that we're very excited about. It's called 7:30, which is a review of the weekly news in 30 minutes. And the format's going to be in a way that it's going to be easy to distribute inside the island. We're also going to start with English lessons. That's coming up next week. And we're working on alternative ways to distribute our TV signal. When I say alternative, obviously they're different than the ones that we have now. And we already started that with some good feedback from inside the island. On the transmission side, we're still working with Andrew Mendez's team very positively. I think he said we'll get a report by this afternoon. I'm not putting any pressure on him, but the board's putting pressure on me. So I just want to share that information with you. Our website traffic keeps going up. And with the press of two buttons, Mr. Chairman and the board, I'm pleased to inform that we're able to deliver news to over 80,000 Cubans inside the island within 10 minutes. We're very active reporting the news inside Cuba. And the Pablo Milanes interview, which you referred to, Pablo Milanes gave us an interview here in Washington, and within 4 hours, he was being criticized by the official bloggers inside the island. So that's my report, my 10-month report. Thank you very much.
Questions? Welcome aboard, David Ensor.
Thank you, sir.
Colleague, new head of Voice of America, long tradition, great tradition you're following.
Mr. Chairman, it's my first public meeting, so let me take this quick opportunity to thank you for the honor of letting me serve as your new director of VOA. Mm-hmm. It's great to be back at a broadcast news and information organization, especially one that has such a distinguished history and I know such a dynamic future under the leadership of this board. Things that you never thought you'd hear or see have been happening in the last couple of weeks. Correspondents from VOA have been reporting from the capitals of North Korea and Burma. Mm-hmm. We had the Korean services, Sung Kwon Bak. He was accompanying 1,000 athletes and media to Pyongyang to cover the Taekwondo World Championships. And he was able to report extensively about that because the North Korean mission thought his coverage of the North Korean team's visit here back in June was fair and objective. I'm not sure if that's a compliment coming from them, but whatever. In any case, it's the beginning of something.
I hope he's out before they heard you make that remark.
It was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to open something up, perhaps make some real progress with a country that we've not had an easy time with. And Taekwondo is something that, and sport is something that ties our two countries together, and this is something we hope we can build on. And then in Burma, Kin So Win from our Burmese service covered U.S. envoy Derek Mitchell's trip to Burma recently, and he got on-camera interviews with Aung San Suu Kyi and with the political advisor to Burma's president. So again, another scoop for VOA, another opportunity to get into a country we were very rarely able to look at and to show to our viewers in this kind of way. It's still been tough going, however, in many parts of the world. Three quick notes in Angola. The VOA Portuguese reporter Alexandre Neto was among five journalists attacked by security forces when they covered a pro-democracy rally in Luanda. In Kathmandu, the VOA Tibetan reporter Gandan Tashi was abducted at knife point and interrogated by people believed to be Chinese intelligence agents. And judges involved in the Khmer Rouge Tribunal issued contempt of court proceedings against VOA for a report on court documents about the suspects in the Khmer Rouge trials. This summer, Voice of America and MBN have collaborated on a small mini documentary about a town in New Jersey with a progressive history of racial and religious tolerance. And I want to just run a short clip from it. The town is called Teaneck, and it's run by a Muslim mayor and a deputy mayor who's an Orthodox Jew who've been friends since high school. And we thought this was a nice example of cooperation between our two companies. I should stress it was MBN's idea. They did the lion's share of the work, but we were very eager to participate, and I think we helped. Here it is.
Every time you ask someone to try something different, even if you know it's good, there's always some concern that people just have a resistance to change. So the idea of the going to the Jewish community and saying, hey, vote for my buddy Muhammad. Well, it was one thing for me to say he was my buddy and someone I trusted, someone that I'd grown up with, someone that I saw eye to eye with, someone that I respected, but his name was Muhammad.
So, you know, I'm outside a synagogue, and I'm running at that time with another, with an Orthodox Jewish candidate.
And so we had both their names on the petition that we were signing. A prominent member of the community comes out of the synagogue after a prayer service, and I hand him the petition to sign, and he looks at the two names and he kind of shakes his head.
And the guy says no.
Oh man, then maybe this isn't going to work. And I kind of look at him pleadingly, you know, kind of help us out.
You're like, oh my God, he's standing right over there. you know, this is what's going to happen. You know, you can't say, you know, just sign the petition. You don't have to vote for him. He goes, no. I'm going to sign Muhammad's petition.
And I looked at him. I said, you know, how come? And he says, well, you know, that other guy, he talks in shul. He talks during prayer services. So as far as this guy knew, Muhammad had never once talked during, you know, the Jewish prayer services where the other guy had. So, you know, at that point, I think it was a real, you know, a motive, you know, we had some momentum. It just really gave us some energy and some enthusiasm.
So that's a fragment of a product that will be useful for both NBN and VOA, and it's helping tell America's story, which is part of our mission. And I look forward to more cooperation with NBN and with the other partners, a lot more in the next couple of years. Another thing we've done in the last period since you last met is we've launched special Somali and Amharic language broadcasts targeting the refugees of the drought and the famine in East Africa. These broadcasts contain information designed to help the victims survive, basically, to help find help from international aid agencies and also to reunite families. So this is another service that I think is something fundamental to the kind of work VOA should be doing. We've had some help from the Gates Foundation and Oxfam, which tweeted VOA's website that tracks the rainfall, food prices, and migration patterns throughout Somalia and Ethiopia. Again, to give information to the people who are in such desperate straits there. Finally, I would direct you, and you already mentioned it, Mr. Chairman, to the front page of the Metro section of today's Washington Post. Washington Post asked the question, what's Mandarin for cool? And the answer is Voice of America.
Yay.
OMG. Oh, my God.
The answer is Voice of America, and also Jessica Beinecke, who is over there.
Hey, Jessica, would you like to have her stand up for a second? Come on over so we can say hello. Hey, how are you?
But before I ask her to just say a word, do you mind if we run the video?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Please.
大家好，欢迎来到ONG 美语，我是白洁。星期一到星期五，我都会播出一个节目，一起来学最新的、最地道的美语。VOA 英语每天学个 词儿，提了个很好玩的话题，就是各种屎。今天我们一起来学怎么谈 all of the gunk that comes out of your face。眼屎在美语里面是 sleepy or eye gunk。 I always have sleepies in the corner of my eye when I wake up in the morning. Our shirt, they mainly mean shirt earwax. I use Q-tips to get the earwax out of my ears. 如果你不听话，一个美国人会告诉你, "Hey, get the wax out of your ears." 就是听我的话的意思。鼻屎。 在美语里面是 booger. Ooh, you have a booger right there. Okay, you got it. 如果一个人是很 annoying, 你可以这么叫他, you are being such a booger. 这是很口语的, 你可以跟朋友这么说，但是你可能不要跟父母这么说吧。 鼻涕在美语里面是 snot. I'm so sick. My nose is so runny. So much snot. 如果一个比较年轻的人是很不客气的时候，你可以这么说: She refuses to wash the dishes. She is such a little snot. 口水在美语里面是 drool or slobber. Ugh, this big dog slobbered all over me. His slobber is all over my hands. Ugh. 如果你的男的朋友觉得一个女孩很漂亮，然后他一直在说啊，这个女的很漂亮，她很漂亮，漂亮，漂亮， blah 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 blah. 然后你可以这么说， Dude. Stop drooling over her. You are never gonna get a date with Britney Spears. 青春痘，痘痘。 在美语里面是 zit, pimple, blemish. Girl, that zit you have on your chin, that thing is huge. You gotta pop that thing. 好 ，It's your turn， 请告诉我你还想学什么话题呢？好，我们星期一见，拜拜。
I hope we have.
So, Jessica, give us 30 seconds on how you teach English.
How I teach English? I just pick the grossest topic. No, I'm just kidding. After the first week of posting these videos, we asked on the weekend what our online users wanted to study. So every topic, every video, Monday through Friday, that's been posted since the last week of July has been user-generated. We're teaching them topics that they want to learn. There have been a series of breakup videos where I cry and I broke up with my boyfriend. That's on the Washington Post video, so check that out. We had a travel show that was once a month, and we wanted to make this a more regular experience for our online friends, make it an online platform for cross-cultural communication. This is a dialogue that they take on these huge chat rooms, and they're all over the place. And we were on a shoot last Friday, and I met somebody in a restaurant who said, I talk about your shows all the time in chat rooms. You know, they spread it all over the Chinese Facebook, and it's doing pretty well.
Thank you very much for your work.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
1.5 million hits.
Three,
this one went viral, but the others, I after I saw that one, I went and looked at the others, and they're not all about Yucky Gunk. I'm sorry to have brought down the tone of the board meeting, but we wanted to let you know about this.
That's fine.
So that's our report for this month. Thank you.
Well, great. Thank you very much. I don't know who's the newbie here. You are your colleague David, right? You're the total newbie. Steve Korn is our new president of Radio Free Europe. And how was your first week?
Well, it was great.
In Prague,
yeah,
the world's most beautiful city.
That's what I wanted to tell you about. I finally, after a too long period of being employed but not in Prague, got to Prague last week for my first full week in our headquarters, and it was exhausting but invigorating. I spent most of my time, as I will over the next weeks and months, as the old television show used to tell us when we were crossing the street as kids, stop, look, and listen. And I've spent a good bit of time already, and will continue to do so, talking with all of our folks in the language services. And that's what's so invigorating. It reminds you of what it is, our mission is, and why we do what we do. If I were to stay up on the fourth floor where my office is, I would be completely out of touch with what we're really doing. Just an example, I met a young man in Radio Farda who, when he was offered the job by us, was still in Tehran and was promptly thrown in jail for 33 days. To put it mildly, not treated well while he was there, told that if he should never, ever work for us. When he was let out, he somehow made his way to the Turkish border and paid someone to smuggle him across, and now he works for us in Prague. And that kind of courage, that kind of heroism, those kinds of stories can be found throughout the building. He is in no way unique among the people we have working for us. And so I consider it an honor to be able to be in the service of people with that kind of courage and that kind of dedication to the cause of freedom in their home countries. So I immediately had to come back to Washington after my first week. I find myself curiously looking forward to going back to Prague as soon as I can. I'm leaving on Sunday. We'll be in the office on Monday, and I'm looking forward to further understanding what it is that motivates our people and what I can do to make their jobs easier and more effective.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we'll look forward to seeing you in Prague at some point. Libby, I don't have a formal report here, but we always love hearing from you. So Libby Liu of Radio Free Asia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome, Steve and David. I think you'll find that throughout U.S. international broadcasting, the most impressive thing is the people. Every one of us is lucky to have staff like this that have sacrificed so much and are leaving their families back home in peril to do the work they believe in. So welcome to a really, really great endeavor. I also want to thank Rob and Raina. They have brought so much new technology and new toys to RFA. Our people are voracious about things that they can do on the web, and it has just been a great opportunity. So thank you, and thank you to the board for bringing them on board. It's been so fun. I wanted to raise some weird things in Burma. Mm-hmm. They recently issued an amnesty call for dissidents from the 808 rebellion. And, the qualifier was you can come back home unless you've ever done anything against the country. So that was odd. The next thing that was odd is their newspapers on August 29th stopped running the "We Hate RFA, We Hate VOA, We Hate BBC" propaganda that's all over the Myanmar press. Stopped just flat doing it. And then just a few days ago, the Burmese government dropped the ban on RFA and other foreign media. So now our websites are all totally free in Burma. So something is going on there.
What do you think it is?
I don't know, because there's the flip side, which is Irrawaddy, which is a very well-respected newspaper, reported mm-hmm. that one of our very, very well-known investigative reporters was, when he went back for the amnesty, he was imprisoned. We have been unable to verify that report, and we got an ambiguously phrased email from him saying, "I'm fine, and I'll call you in 2 weeks."
Yeah, so he's allegedly been released.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but something's going on in Burma, and I just wanted to raise your attention because these are very dramatic changes. Right.
It also reminds us of why we do and you do and your journalists do what you do.
Yeah.
If I may depart from the agenda and welcome Ann Stock, an old friend, a young but longtime friend of mine, and somebody who is now taking Judith McHale's spot for the Secretary of State. Welcome.
Thank you very much. No, I'm just delighted to be here, and I look forward to working on all these issues because there are a lot of the issues that we're working on. So I look forward to a very close partnership and collaboration and helping in any way I can. And I'm excited to be part of the new direction of where the board's heading. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks. And before we end, I know I recognize the station managers, but really what you've done is extraordinary. Maybe if we could get them on camera and you can either stand or wave or whatever, we can give you a round of applause for the station managers. Our next meeting is going to be at the headquarters here in October. We like to occasionally, without destroying our travel budget, go visit the various entities. And so the board in December is actually going to go to Middle East Broadcasting. For those of you counting the travel dollars, I'll remind you it's in Springfield, Virginia. We will take a little van and get there. But that'll be important. Is there anything anybody else, especially governors, wants to say at this point? Or non-governors? Do I hear then a motion for adjournment?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Thank you very much. See you next time. Carlo.